Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey everybody, it's Dan, and welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. On a Friday, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock, and I go through some questions that Mary Kay came up with. Veterans, maybe they should look at wide receiver, defensive tackle. What they should do at quarterback if Deshaun Watson is suspended the entire year. Is Jacoby Brissett good enough? If not, what are some of their options? Is Baker Mayfield an option? We get into all of it. That's coming up on the podcast. First, I have to tell you about Football Insider. You get access to exclusive stories on cleveland.com/browns. You can become one of our tech subscribers, and you get a newsletter delivered to your inbox every single day. It's written by a member of our Browns reporting team. It is exclusive to our subscribers. So again, cleveland.com/browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. Get info. Get signed up. All right, here we go. Our Friday Orange and Brown Talk podcast. We go on our Friday edition of the Orange Brown Talk podcast. Mary Kay came up with some questions today, so we're going to get to some of those. And let's just start here. We've been talking a lot about Kareem Hunt. And Mary Kay, you talked to Kareem Hunt last week in the final day of minicamp. He said he wants an extension. He wants to retire a Cleveland Brown. We discussed it a little bit, but I mean, let's just go right at it. Should the Browns extend Kareem Hunt before the season starts?
Well, you know, if it were me, I would go ahead and extend him to maybe a shorter term deal, a couple of years incentive laden, the way that they did with the previous 2 years. I would do that because I still think he's very valuable as long as he can stay healthy, and you can build in the incentives the way that they did in the past, per game roster bonuses or per game bonuses. So I would do it that way. I think he can be really good in this offense. I think he'll be good for Deshaun Watson. We talked about the fact that I think he's sort of an inspirational leader. You know, he brings the fire, he brings the juice and all that kind of stuff. So I would go ahead and do it. But having said that, it seems to me that even just judging from Kareem's tone, that I don't know that they're going to do that. It almost seems like they are more inclined to just let him play out the season and go from there.
Ashley, what would you do?
Yeah, I like Mary Kay's idea of this incentive-laden, you know, possibility of an extension. But when I first saw the question, my first thought was in season. And the injuries were a big part of that. Like, he only played in 8 games last year. He missed half the season. And I know we had conversations during the season, like, are those injuries kind of starting to pile up on him? Like, is he getting a little more tread on the tires that maybe are going to make the Browns a little bit more wary? And I think just given everything that he went through last year, and I know, you know, we talked about the last 2 games he missed, I think he was like, quote unquote, questionable for those. And maybe if they were in the race for the division still, or they were going, you know, trying to make the playoffs in a meaningful way, maybe we would have seen him in those games. But I do think the injuries are a question. But, you know, I do appreciate that he is a guy who's a great hometown story. I think he wants to be here. I think he fits really well here. And I know you guys talked about this on one of the recent podcasts that I wasn't on, but you know, I just think he's a guy who has so much talent, who is okay not being that number one guy. Like, he's okay with the role he has here. And I think that's super rare. So I wouldn't be opposed to them extending him, but I do think maybe in season is what they're looking at more.
I would not extend him before the season. And I would honestly hesitate, as much as I love Kareem Hunt and his fit in this offense, I would hesitate to extend him beyond this year. I mean, he's making $6 million a year this year. That's his average per year. I'd have to imagine he'd want to stay around that number. You're already committed to Nick Chubb for about $12 million a year. And his contract, you know, his cap hits go 5.2 this year, then 14.8 and 16.2 in the last 2 years of his deal. You've paid your guards big money. You've made a lot of investment in this running game. And I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to have $18 to $20 million tied up in two running backs, especially with your quarterback making as much as he is. And I mean, I'm just saying, I know I've said this before, at some point, somebody on this roster is seeing new contracts and is going to say, hey, I want that money. Like whether it's Myles Garrett or Amari Cooper, or I mean, at some point, if Jed Wills becomes the player they think he can become, you're going to have to pay him. You know, Jack Conklin is a free agent after this year. There's just a lot of money that this team has to spend. And I don't know if it makes sense if you have a $12 million running back to then turn around and give another running back $6 million. It's Kareem Hunt is a luxury, and it's a really good luxury. And I think he helps you win football games. And that's why I would not trade him this year, but I would have a hard time giving him an extension if we're still talking $6 to $8 million a year.
You know, I think that the team feels the way that you do. Again, I would not be surprised to see him go through the season and then hit the market. But I still think, I mean, even when you look at the $6.25 million cap hit he has, that's because he has likely to be made incentives in there. It really won't work out to that if he doesn't play all of those games. So I kind of think they could do something like that over the next couple of years where you don't necessarily have to hit those numbers. I do think that he is worth it because he's such a dual threat. In both the running game and the passing game. And I think that causes him to be a little bit more, maybe more expensive than he normally would be. But I don't think the Browns are going to do it. I think they're going to let him play out the year, hit the market, let the market set the price, and then go from there. If it works out that, you know, that they want to pay him whatever after that, then he can be back. If not, he'll go find somewhere else to play.
Okay, so let's move on to the quarterback discussion. Actually, you know what? Let's talk wide receivers now before we get to quarterbacks. We have about three quarterback questions, but I want to talk wide receivers first. We mentioned the number two receiver position. It's Donovan Peoples-Jones at the moment. David Bell has been working in the slot. After that, there's a lot of question marks with this team. And look, in reality, they are very reliant on DPJ and a rookie wide receiver behind Amari Cooper right now. So the question is, should the Browns sign a veteran wide receiver? And here are some names that are out there right now. This is according to Spotrac. Julio Jones, Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton, Cole Beasley, DeSean Jackson is out there. He's like always a free agent, just constantly a free agent. Odell Beckham on this list, if anyone is interested in bringing Odell back. Should the Browns sign a veteran wide receiver, Ashley?
I have felt for most of the offseason that just still feels like a missing piece to me. And I know like the Will Fuller speculation has been the most prevalent, shall we say, maybe first in front of Odell, because that's always a fun conversation to have. But, you know, I think Will Fuller, the familiarity he has with Deshaun Watson is obviously a factor that I think is driving a lot of that. I know we've talked about before, like, would Deshaun Watson like go as far as to lobby for him joining the Browns? Like, I know for me personally, like, I just feel like there is a piece missing in that receiver room. Like, at the same time, it's gotten crowded towards the bottom of the depth chart, but I still just don't feel like they have that true number two piece. And I just, as somebody who's watched Donovan in college and in these first years of his pro career, like, I don't know that he will necessarily thrive in that true number two role. Like, I think maybe he's a really solid number three guy, and that's like what his role is. And how many, you know, teams have a number three guy like Donovan Peoples-Jones? So it's just, to me, has still kind of feels like there's something missing there higher up on the depth chart.
Mary Kay, what do you think?
Yeah, I would do it. I've been pretty vocal all along in saying that I would add a veteran receiver to this crew because Amari Cooper has been the Iron Man. He never gets hurt. He's always there. He's very, very durable. But in the event that he does, you really don't have a proven wide receiver. You have other proven pass catchers, you know, in some of your tight ends and in Kareem. But just in terms of your wideouts, you're looking at a couple of young guys coming up the learning curve, Donovan Peoples-Jones stepping into a larger role. So I would go ahead and do that. Yeah, I would find that surefire guy that you know that can go out there, maybe a guy that's been to the playoffs or, you know, maybe even a Super Bowl or something like that. You don't necessarily have to do it right now, but as you go through the preseason, I think it would be a really good idea. And maybe it's somebody that shakes out from cuts or something like that. But I don't think it can hurt to have that guy around. Now, would it be Odell Beckham Jr.? I really don't think so. I mean, I think that, I know there are people in the organization that feel that, you know, they just did not like the way that whole thing went. And, you know, there just might be too much water under the bridge to go back down that road again, even though he would like to be back here. I mean, that would be one of his options. It's not like he's clamoring to get back here, but he would be open to it. So, you know, I don't know. I look at this list and, you know, there are not a lot of guys on this list that, you know, that you just think, my goodness, that person could come in right away and help. I mean, I think Cole Beasley's intriguing, but, you know, they might already have what they need from a Cole Beasley type of receiver. So yeah, there's nobody out there right now that seems to make perfect sense, but I would still definitely be open to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody on this list that you look at and say that guy's like perfect. That guy is absolutely the number, like even a Will Fuller, who I think is really intriguing. And Mary Kay, you brought him up on this podcast. You know, this is also a guy that has had injury issues. He's only played, he played 14 games his rookie year, and then that's it. He's played 10, 7, 11, 11, and then two last year. Now in 2020, to be fair, that part of that missed time was because of a suspension, not because of injury. But he has been a guy that has struggled to stay on the field consistently, which then kind of puts you right in the position that you were bringing him in for to begin with, right? As a, just in case Amari Cooper gets hurt. But I think he's probably the best player on this list. Mm-hmm. I think we saw in Tennessee last year that Julio Jones didn't really look like the Julio Jones that we saw in Atlanta. So maybe that was the system. I don't know. But again, even he would come with a certain amount of risk because he's 32 years old. He's actually 33 now. So I don't know. I don't know if you can revive Julio Jones's career.
Yeah. You know what? You know, one thing that I probably would actually explore doing is why not? I mean, if you are still talking to the Panthers about sending Baker Mayfield there, and Robbie Anderson has already been very vocal about Baker Mayfield, why not throw him into the deal? Throw him into the deal. Let him come here and play with Deshaun Watson for probably part of the season, maybe part of the season. Jacoby Brissett, get him out of Carolina. Maybe that hastens that deal a little. He recently said he would want to retire, but now, you know, he's back. But I actually think that this would not be the worst idea in the world. He's a productive receiver. He's got some experience. He'd be another target for Deshaun. I would think about throwing him into the trade.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley, would you throw in a draft pick along with Baker to bring Robbie Anderson back?
Yeah, why not? If you're solving one problem and kind of by chance happening to solve another problem. I mean, Robbie Anderson has been very vocal about not wanting Baker Mayfield there to the point that we know how Baker Mayfield handles these things. I don't know that there would be much coming back from that relationship, even though this occurred before that relationship even hypothetically started. But again, I mean, it could, in theory, be an unconventional way to solve a problem that the Browns, I think, still have.
All right, one more question before we get to quarterbacks. And Mary Kay, I see what you're doing with this question, because you say, should they add a veteran defensive tackle such as Sheldon Richardson? We're not going to dance around. Should the Browns just bring back Sheldon Richardson?
Well, from what you guys have said, he's a fantastic interview, first of all. So that alone would be great, it sounds like. But I think, you know, when you talk about that defensive tackle room, it was interesting to hear Chris Kiffin tell Mary Kay, I think, that you know, they have been really impressed with certain things that Jordan Elliott has added. And the coaches are at this point more privy to that stuff than we are in terms of what they've seen. But again, I mean, I just felt like on top of having, you know, not really having a true number two receiver, I don't think the defensive tackle room depth is just not good. And we saw that last year, how those guys all graded out towards the bottom of the defense. It certainly would be an upgrade, I think.
I would do it. It's why I put it on the list. Let's start talking about it. I would do it. I absolutely 100% would do it. I think he's good for morale. He's good for Miles. He's just that old school veteran type of guy that knows how things should be done. He knows the rules of the locker room like nobody's business. I think he'd be good for the young guys. I think he would keep things light. I think he would, you know, have even a little bit more fire under him that they let him go, come back, do some proving. I think he'd be excellent for Perrion Winfrey. And if the price were right, I think he could be very productive in there.
So obviously the question was Sheldon Richardson, but I'd have looked at bringing back Larry Ogunjobi too. I think that would have been a guy that, you know, if you didn't want to bring back Sheldon, and I haven't seen what the number is for Larry Ogunjobi's contract. I'm actually looking around as we're talking here, but I haven't seen that number yet. He had an agreement with a big deal for the Bears, but failed his physical. And now he's in Pittsburgh. I don't know. I'd have thought about bringing him in too, like a guy that, again, you know, well, he was a former draft pick when Andrew Berry was here. They obviously decided to move on from him, you know, friends with Miles. Maybe that's just the prerequisite. You've got to be friends with Myles Garrett. But I'd have thought about him too, considering how long he was out there. I'd have made that phone call and seen if he wanted to come back, because he was a productive player for Cincinnati last year.
Yeah, I would have done that too. I would have done that too. He did have new life breathed into him by, you know, just that wake-up call that he got from having to leave the Cleveland Browns. And he played with a lot of energy and a lot of power and explosion. And he had a career high 7 sacks. So that was excellent on his part. And I think he sort of found his sack voice that way. Again, as you mentioned, coming off of an injury. So you'd have to think about that a little bit, but he fits. And I think that that would have been a good move if he had been available. So.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Ashley.
I was just going to say, I think it really hurts to see him go from one division rival to another division rival now for Browns fans, given the year he had last year. And on top of the career best 7 sacks, career best 16 quarterback hits as well last year, like Mary Kay was saying, he just really showed off, I think, that new level to his game in year 5, that he's able to make those kind of plays.
Yeah, he's a guy that, like I said, I'd have been interested in bringing him back. And look, if they want to call up Sheldon Richardson and see if he wants to come back and at least give us some good interviews and sit at his locker, since we got open locker room again this year, that's fine. I'll take it. I think the point here is we all kind of feel like they need help on the interior of that defensive line. All right, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we will get to some quarterback questions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. And Mary Kay, we're going to start here with the player who is on the roster and most likely to be the week one starter. And that is Jacoby Brissett. And the question you have is, why might Jacoby be okay? I think people are a little concerned about Jacoby starting, especially if he has to start for a whole year. But why do you think he would be okay if he has to start games?
Well, if it gets to that point, and it is an entire year, the reasons why he would be okay, I would say number one, you know, the Browns are pretty familiar with him. Andrew Berry was with him in Indianapolis and knows a lot about him. He watched him step in for Andrew Luck and have some success. So he sees something in Jacoby Brissett that maybe Browns fans don't really realize, you know, is there because they haven't followed it as closely. So there are things about him that they like and they feel that he can do. And then the other reasons include the fact that, you know, he is stepping into a really good cockpit, as they say. So he has a really nice running game, a good offensive line, and a very good defense, an excellent defense. We've seen teams go pretty far in a season with a really, really good defense and it, you know, in an average quarterback or maybe a slightly above average quarterback. So I would say those are the reasons why if you have to do this, you would feel okay about it.
Yeah. Ashley, how would you feel if it was Jacoby Brissett as the man for this team? I feel like we're going to have this discussion a lot over the next 2 months.
Yeah.
After we finally figure out whatever the suspension is going to be for Deshaun. But I mean, how do you feel about Jacoby right now?
I feel like it could be worse. Like, I'm not necessarily overly excited about it, right? But I do think, kind of like what Mary Kay was getting at, like, the thing that's always, I think, just stood out about him is the fact that this isn't new territory for him. He's had this really weird kind of career trajectory where three times he's been thrown in as a starter without expecting that necessarily. And he did earn himself, I believe, an extension with the Colts because of how well he performed the first time he did it with them. But I think that's a huge part of the draw with him. And I do think there is a certain intangible element when you are talking about the quarterback position and being able to kind of handle that pressure and handle it successfully, especially when you are a guy who is basically a career backup, essentially. And I do think he has that X factor about him. And that's a big part of what drew from him. Obviously, very close with Tom Brady from having been in New England and talked about how, you know, he's kind of served as a mentor for him the first time we got to talk to Jacoby Brissett this offseason. So I do think there is something there in it. Their situation could be a lot worse than it is currently, but it's still not a guy, you know, that anyone I think is going to be jumping up and down for if you hear Jacoby Brissett is going to be starting the full season, right?
Yeah, I mean, what you're hoping for is to get that guy who in 2019, you got off to a 6-4 start. They beat Kansas City. I remember that Sunday night game when they beat Kansas City in at Arrowhead with Jacoby as the starter. And he got hurt at some point in that year. They got off to a 6-4 start and then they just collapsed and went 7-9. It does sort of feel like that's what you're hoping to get out of Jacoby, is if Deshaun's going to be out, let's say 8 games or 10 games, just get this team to 5-5 or 6-4, or, you know, even 4-6, you could still rally and make the playoffs if Deshaun Watson comes back and is ready to go. You're just kind of, if he's got to start 17 games, it gets a little iffier. But I think he's shown he's good enough, Mary Kay, that if you need him for 6, 8, 10 games, he can probably give you what you need and keep you in the race a little bit.
Right. And, you know, I think they looked at it as, you know, sort of a little bit of an upgrade over Case Keenum, just in terms of some of the things that he can do, maybe not in terms of skill level, but skill set, which is transfers a little bit better with Deshaun, a little bit more dual threat and different things like that. So I think they were comfortable from that aspect of it, but also he doesn't cost them any more than what they are already paying right now. They don't have to give up a draft pick to get him. They don't have to give up more money to sign him. They don't have to give up anything at all. They can just kind of plug him in and go. And of course, some of this depends on how long that suspension is. You know, again, if they start out with a year, there's a chance that on appeal, it won't end up being an entire year. So, you know, I do think that he could probably hold down the fort for 8 games if that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like for me, and I think I've said this before, like you're not counting on him to win you any games, especially if it's only a partial season suspension for Deshaun. You just don't want him to actively be losing you games. And then you hope like this star-studded defense that you've put together can do most of the work. And obviously guys like Nick Chubb and maybe Amari Cooper makes some big plays. The offensive line holds up. You're kind of just hoping that these pieces you have built around the quarterback can do just enough to remain competitive and stay in that race until Watson comes back. If it is, again, only like that partial season kind of suspension.
Okay. So if the Browns needed to add a veteran quarterback, Scott actually did a survey with our Football Insider texters, and they ranked in order of preference 5 quarterbacks who are all available. And this was their order from most preferred to least preferred. Cam Newton was one. Colin Kaepernick was two. AJ McCarron was three. That would be a weird twist. Mike Glennon, four. And Josh Rosen, five. And apparently, according to Scott's text, Rosen was the runaway loser in this survey, which, I mean, he finished behind Mike Glennon. So that's all we need to know. Mary Kay, you also threw out Newton and Kaepernick. You added Teddy Bridgewater in here. He's in Miami. That would have to be a trade. And you'd have to wonder, he's kind of a hedge against Tua. So I think he would be tough to get. But when you hear those quarterback names, who is it that stands out to you that if the Browns went out and made a move, and there's another quarterback we'll talk about that they have to trade for, but of those names, who's the one that stands out as somebody that you would want the Browns to maybe bring in?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, there are others that we will talk about, and I think it would probably have to be a trade. I don't think there is a free agent quarterback sitting out there that they would feel would be an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. So if it were going to happen, I think they're going to have to trade for someone. And so that brings you more into the Teddy Bridgewaters and possibly a Jimmy Garoppolo or, you know, Sam Darnold, which I don't see that happening. But I think that's what it would have to be. And out of all of those, gosh, I don't know. I actually might prefer Jimmy Garoppolo in that situation, just because he knows the system and he, you know, he has so many victories under his belt. He knows how to play winning football. Now, a lot of people argue that they win sometimes in spite of him, but I mean, he has won a lot of games for the 49ers.
I think this kind of goes back to like the Jacoby thing, right? Like, we talk about Jacoby and how maybe, you know, it wouldn't be awesome to if he were a starter for 17 games. But like, as I list these names, there's not anyone on that list that I think I'd rather have that guy over Jacoby Brissett. Is there somebody on that list that stands out to you, Ashley?
Not really. I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat, and I know we're kind of jumping ahead by talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, but that is like the one person. And I know it is interesting because when we were kind of hearing his name come up as, you know, a possibility to replacing Baker Mayfield before the Browns went and got Deshaun Watson. I know, Mary Kay, you said that they just did not feel like he was enough of an upgrade, but he might, he is, I think, an upgrade compared to Jacoby Brissett, though, compared like when you're taking Baker completely out of the equation. But yeah, you look at those names and it's just like no one really jumps out on that like free agent list specifically that you're like, they have to go and get that guy because it's going to really just improve their chances. Like I would kind of, you know, be willing to see what Jacoby Brissett can do if those are the other options.
Now there's one more thing that we have not talked about before we get to Jimmy. And that is, and I've joked around about this before, but is it that funny? And that is, hey, Drew, what are you doing this season? I know you don't have a TV job anymore. Why don't you come up to Cleveland for a year? Why not? What do you guys think?
Well, he did kind of leave the door open on Twitter. So there have been crazier ideas floated, I think.
I mean, I'd be up for it. He's, you know, he's not like the all-time great first ballot Hall of Famer Drew Brees anymore. He can't really throw the ball down the field a ton. And, you know, he's not that guy, but he's still a guy that can run an offense and win you football games, obviously, especially when he has a great defense. Like, this is essentially the New Orleans situation, right? He'd be in a similar situation, a good offensive line, good weapons, a really good defense. The only difference is you'd be playing outdoors, which, you know, maybe he wouldn't want to do that, playing outdoors in December. But I mean, look, desperate times call for desperate measures. Why not? You got to think outside the box. I like it. I didn't know that's where you were going, Mary Kay. I would not argue against it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, why not? At this point, I would say if Deshaun is suspended for a year, and the more I talk to people, the more I really think that there, you know, there will be some kind of discussions that even if the league says a year at the outset that it won't end up being a year. But I would think about this. I think you have to explore all of your options. And we know that the Browns do that. They don't stand pat. They don't just sit there and say, oh, well, this is the hand we're dealt and we're just going to go with it. They're very, very aggressive in trying to upgrade every position. And if they see an opportunity, they will seize the moment.
I mean, the answer is, and it's unfortunately the most ridiculous and never going to happen answer, but the answer is like, everybody needs to just suck it up and Baker Mayfield needs to play. I mean, if we're being 100% honest,
It's the path of least resistance, 100%, because he's already here.
Yeah, everybody needs to put their egos aside, and it's never going to happen. But that's, he can come in. He's shown he can win you games in this system when he's healthy. He can get himself a new contract, raise his trade value. I don't know that. I mean, that's. If he is still on the roster in July and Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended for the year, that's what should happen. It's not going to happen, but that's what should happen.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case, but I just have to wonder, remember back to last year when Baker was all about how he was faltering because of his injury and the Browns were like, oh, he's fine.
I've actually been thinking about that a lot for just randomly this week that I've been thinking about that.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of have to wonder, do they think that Jacoby Brissett is better than 2021 Baker? And I have to wonder about that. And do they think that 2021 Baker is more Baker than people seem to realize? You know, I don't know. These are questions that we don't know the answer to, and we won't know until Baker gets back out on the football field with a pretty good team and he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, of all these names we mentioned, I'm sorry, the 2020 version of Baker is better than Jacoby Brissett. 2021 mm-hmm. version, like you said, Mary Kay, probably not, right. But the 2020 version is. That being said, Jimmy Garoppolo, our guy, Jimmy G. Mary Kay, I joked with you earlier this week that it felt like old times talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. What would you give up for him to start for you for a year?
You know, that's a tough one because I think you'd almost have to convince the 49ers to take Baker off your hands, and you'd probably still have to pay a significant amount of Baker's salary in that scenario. So you would be taking on Jimmy's salary and keeping some of Baker's salary. But I mean, not the craziest idea in the world, because starting quarterbacks these days, they get $33, $35, $36, $38 million if they're good. So, I mean, I would be open to it. I would definitely be open to it. I mean, I think that he's somebody that could step in and win games for you. And again, he knows this offense. I don't think it's the craziest notion in the world. I think it's unlikely. And again, I did report back when they were looking to upgrade from Baker that for them, it just didn't seem to be enough of an upgrade and worth everything that it would take, including an extension, long-term extension, all that kind of stuff. But in this situation, for him to have an opportunity to come back and get back on the football field for a season, maybe he wouldn't even require, you know, maybe not even be looking for an extension just to kind of get himself back out there. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world.
I don't either. Ashley, would you give up like a third for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah. And like Baker, again, if you can convince them to take him, like, I think Baker would have to be a part of it. Cause in theory, it's like maybe the most collateral they would have in another quarterback trade is sending their quarterback to another team. Because the reality is, look, like we know what their pick situation is, right? Like they don't have a ton of those picks to just be handing out in a deal that would ultimately just be kind of a stopgap and like solves your problem of, okay, we have a slightly better quarterback for this 1 year because the guy we paid $230 million to is suspended. Like, It to me, like, you don't want to give up much more than that because you've already given up so much to get Deshaun Watson. But yeah, I mean, like, if you're going to have to get Baker, have to unload Baker somehow, like, I don't know, it's unlikely, but I think you would have to convince them to take him as part of the deal.
All right, there we go. A few Browns questions here on a Friday on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. If you're not a Football Insider subscriber, I tell you all the time, you got to get on board. Training camp opens July 27th. You want to at least get on board before that starts. So to get info, get signed up, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. And of course, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're going to be starting our FAQ series here soon. So you'll want to hit all of those pods, and we're going to be going all through July. We'll have pods coming to you on a regular basis, all the way leading up to training camp. So for Ashley and Mary Kay, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.